Well, all right, we are in our study on the Gospel according to Luke. And right now, if you have your Bibles, that'll work. Or if you have your iPod or iPhone or your Droid or whatever, either type in or turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. And we're going to study a bunch today, all the way to verse 36. It's going to cover a lot of area. Now, let me refresh you just a bit. Jesus has selected the 12 apostles, and they've come down to a plain. And Jesus is just about, well, we began it last week. He's going to preach the Sermon on the Plain. But what's happening here is that he's got three groups of people that he's talking to. And we saw that these three groups of people are in any spiritual gathering, any church group, any place you go, there are going to be these three groups around Jesus. And there's going to be a them, and that would be the 12. There would be people that are specifically called to do something special for God, specifically called to do something. And then there's a crowd of disciples, the Bible says. There were a group of people that were disciples, and they were serious about God. They were following him. They were serious about changing their lives and be transformed. And then there was a third group of people. There was another group of people that were just coming from Jerusalem, Judea. They were coming from Tyre and Sidon. They were coming to hear him and see him. They were kind of curiosity seekers. They were coming just to see what was going on, or some of them needed healing, or some of them needed delivering. But things were going on in their life, so they were just coming, and as soon as they got what they needed, they were out of there. And that speaks of every group. That speaks of us in our congregation here today. Some here are called to do some specific things for God. Most of us are disciples. We really want to learn. We want to change. We want to become what God wants us to become. But others of us are just passing through. We're curious, maybe. We've got something going on in our lives that is upside down. And, you know, and we want God to help us get out of it. Or maybe we're just trying to avoid hell and get to heaven. Or you know, we're just curious. We want to see what's going on in that building. But whatever the reason is, as soon as you're satisfied with whatever it is, you're out of here. And I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying this is how it really works. And we need to understand this. Now, when in this congregation, in this group of people that were there to meet Jesus, to see Jesus, and whatever, the disciples, the whole bunch of them, the whole multitude, Jesus looks at them and he says this in Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. Looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who? Jesus wasn't focused on those that were passing through. He wasn't really even focused on those that were called specifically to do something unique and special. He's talking to the disciples. He's focused on the disciples. And he says, looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who? Now, this word disciples, we need to understand it and make sure that, see if this is what we are or not. But the word is mathetes, and what it means is a learner, a pupil, a disciple. What it speaks of is people that are really serious about God, changing their lives. Transforming is the way the scriptures talk about it. You're transformed from this into this. And what you're being transformed from is a child of the world, a child of the kingdom of darkness, and you're being translated into the kingdom of God. You're becoming a child of God. So that's what that means. And then when Jesus did that, when he said that, he spoke the introduction to his sermon. And the introduction of his sermon had four what we would consider upside down statements in it. Now really, it's not upside. Let me ask you this. Does God think like we think? What does the scripture say? It says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, higher than the heavens above the earth, or my thoughts from your. God doesn't think like us. But I've been put it, he doesn't think like me. So, but who's right? Who's really upside down? Who is right? God or me? Okay. So it's really, when Jesus says something, though it sounds upside down, is it? No, it's really right side up. But we've got to get to a place where we can understand it. Here's what he said. He said, blessed are you who are poor. Woe to you who are rich. Now that's upside down to me. That's not the way I got it figured out. And he's not talking about being poor in spirit. He's talking about financially. He says, blessed are you who are hungry. He's not talking about hungering for righteousness, because he goes on and he says, woe to you. Woe to you who are well fed. That's upside down. I like to eat. He says, blessed are you who weep. Woe to you who laugh now. I'm a happy person. I want to laugh. What's he doing? He's turning everything upside down. Or right side up. He says, blessed are you who are rejected of men, who are called evil, who are spoken evil of. Woe to you who are well received and accepted and applauded. That's all backwards. That's all 180 degrees. But that's the way he began this sermon. Now, we looked at this last time. Now, I want to get sure we get the word blessed and woe. So let's look at this Greek word for blessed. Makarios, and what it means is blessed, happy, and happier. Now, this is the part that we emphasized last time. When it's used to express the happy and untroubled life of the gods. When Jesus said, blessed are you, he's saying, you're living like God. And then the word woe. The word woe is O-I-E. We talked about that a little bit. It's walking through life in grief and pain. And every time you take a step, there's something bad happens, and it's a life of O-I-E. and it's a troubled life. So Jesus says, this is what will make you happy and blessed and living like God. And this is what is going to make you unhappy and bring grief into your life. And we summed it all down in last week's lesson to this. A blessed life, put it up, the blessed life is the life God has and enjoys. When Jesus says, blessed are you, he's saying, you're living like God. You're living and enjoying life like God. A woe life is the life everyone else endures. We're enduring life, or we're having a ball in life, and we're living like God. Now, that's real difficult for us to get our heads wrapped around, because we, saying that we live like God, is it sounds blasphemous. But I showed you in scriptures in Psalms where it says, have I not said you are gods? And Jesus even referenced that scripture, and he says, is it not written in the scriptures that you are gods? I showed you that. And we have no difficulty at all understanding that a child of a king lives in the king's palace, eats the king's food, lives like the king, right? Lives like a king. But we have a difficult time understanding that though we call ourselves children of God, we can't live like God. But Jesus, in this passage in which we are going to read today and look at today and attempt to exegete today, amplifies that very thought. So let me read that to you. It's in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Then when I read the whole passage, that'll even be better. But then, after you've done what he said prior to this, then your reward will be great, and you will be sons and daughters of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just like your Father. Act like God. Be like God. Live like God. Like your Father is merciful. Now, Jesus says, I come to give you life, and that what? More abundantly. But the thief comes to kill and steal and to destroy. So we can live under the aspects of the thief, O-I-E. Or we can live like God. Live like Jesus. And have an abundant life. And so what Jesus is preaching here, what this sermon is about, is two disciples. People who really want this life, who really want to transform, who really want to change, who really want to live like God. So I'm hoping I'm talking to all of us. So let's read the passage that we're going to be looking at and exegeting. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36, it says, but I tell you who hear me. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. He's not telling everybody, just those that can hear him. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then, once you've done all of that, then your reward will be great. And then, we can say, you will be sons, daughters, children of the Most High. Let me say it while it's up there. If we're not doing that, we're not. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as. Be like your dad. Be merciful, just as your father is merciful. Now, I want to make sure we get it. These are not suggestions. He's not suggesting it. Do this if you want to. No, if you're a child of the Most High, this is what you do. It's not optional. These are uncompromised commands. If you're a real child of God, this is how you live. In this upside down teaching that Jesus is giving us. See, Jesus wants us to live like God. Let me say it this way. He wants us to live like He lives. Now, so let's get after it. Jesus has this crazy upside down notion that people who follow Him, His disciples, are supposed to love people that hate them, that are their enemies. So, just off the top, how many of us have ever done something good for people that you know hate you, that you know look for ways to hurt you, that you know don't like you, despise you? Not before they started hating you, but after they started hating you. How many of us have done something good for somebody that hates us? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but go ahead and get in your mind people that hate you. People that you consider your enemies. Now, if you have, was it easy? If you ever did that, was it an easy thing to do? No, but living like God's not easy. But if you did it, after you did it, how did you feel? How did you feel when you walked away from doing it? How did you feel? Did you feel good? Did you feel godly? Did you feel God-like? Did you feel you were living like God, doing what God would do, doing like your Father in heaven would do? Well, if you did, you were like God. You were like the Most High. You're children of God then. But if you've had opportunity to do that and you did it, you are not a child of God. You're a sinner far from God. And what this message, as I told you last week, is to find out if we're real or not. Are we playing a church game? Are we playing a religious game? Are we deceived into thinking we're going to heaven when really we're not? And in this sermon, what Jesus is going to teach us is if we're real. If we're a real son and daughter of God. I want to tell you this story. It's going to add a few minutes to the lesson, but I want to go ahead and get it off the top. I've told it to you before. And so I'll skip some of the details. But this was years and years ago. I nearly got into a fight while I was fishing. I mean, a real fight. One day while I was fishing. My guide who guides fishing was at Watts Bar Dam. And I'm not going to give you the details as to what all happened. But we started yelling at each other floating down the Tennessee River. Boats just a few feet apart. We're screaming. He's got three guys in the boat with him. I'm alone. And we're yelling at each other, telling each other what we're going to do to each other. And Nat, you would not have been proud of your pastor. I wasn't proud of your pastor. I was mad. And I went to bed that all day long. That haunted me, and I relived it. And I went to bed that night, closed my eyes. And you guys know what I'm talking about. When somebody gets to you like that, you close your eyes and you relive it, and your teeth start grinding, and your blood pressure goes up, and you're going through it all over again, and you're thinking about all the things that was said, and what you wished you had have said, and what you wished you had have done, and you know you're just reliving the thing, and you can't sleep, and your blood pressure's up, and you're stressing out. You know what I'm talking about. Well, I knew I'd see this guy again real soon because that's what he did and that's what I like to do. And so I checked the things, and the only dam that was going to be running this specific day that I was going to go fishing at was Chickamauga Dam. So I go to Chickamauga Dam. I get there early. I figured he's going to be there. It's the only one running, and that's what he does. So I get there early. I catch my bait. If you're striped bass fishing and you need live bait, I catch my bait and I'm fishing. Well, here he comes. And, of course, as he pulls in the area, we're glaring at each other. I didn't like him. He didn't like me. In fact, I felt like I hated him, and I knew he hated me. And so I'm fishing. I'm catching some fish. So he starts trying to fish and starts trying to catch some bait, and he can't catch any. He catches no bait. And I'm going, all right, I like that. Now, I knew I wasn't supposed to feel like that, but that's how it felt. And so I'm catching fish, and I'm kind of enjoying his not fishing. And something inside of me says, "Don't give him your bait. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus." I knew it wasn't the devil. And, Lord, I don't want to do that. No, don't make me do that. No. Okay, keep feeling like you're feeling. Keep your blood pressure up. Keep feeling like that. Lord, if I go over there, Lord, he's going to start it again. We're going to get in the fight. Okay, then do it your way. So I hit it in forward, ease over. And sure enough, he gets out on the front of the boat, and he's glaring at me like this. He thinks I'm coming over there to start something. So I'm coming over there, and I get close enough where he can hear me. And I said, "Can I give you some bait?" I said, "I noticed that you got a trip, and you couldn't catch any bait. Can I give you some bait?" I'm telling you, he went pale. It's like he said, he thought about it a second. He said, What are you pulling? And so he said, "Yeah." So I went and scooped up my bait, put him in a bucket, gave him to him. He took him, put him in his live well, gave me back my bucket. And he looked at me as he handed me the bucket, and our hands were holding the bucket at the same time. He looks at me and he said, "Thank you." But there was, you know, when somebody says thank you, sometimes there's so much more than thank you. And it was, thank you. And so, you know, it's like, you didn't have to do that. You know, what made you do that? And so I pulled it in reverse and backed away and turned around. And when I turned around, I'm telling you, out of my heart came this big smile. And I felt godly. I felt godlike. I had just forgiven and done something good for somebody that didn't deserve it. So when you did that, how did you feel? And so what Jesus is wanting us to get in this is that, listen, you can be godly, God-like, live like God if you're a real child of God. So Matthew talking about the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount, not the Sermon on the Plain, but in Matthew's writing is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew says, and talking about the same thing, loving your enemies, he writes this, Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as," just like, "your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Perfect, teleos, mature. I can grow up to be like God. Is that possible? Because right now I'm in kindergarten with this thing. Right now I've really got to make myself do it, which is exactly what Jesus says you do. You're never more like God than when you love an enemy. So how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you live like God and enjoy the life that God enjoys? So Jesus is going to break it down for us. He's going to tell us it. So let's get started on this exegete part. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, he says this. But Now, that means he's already said something prior to this that connects it. But I tell you who hear me. Now, what I think here is that Jesus needed a better amplification system, don't you? Isn't that what he's talking about here? He needed a better sound system, a better sound man. If you can't hear me in the back, is that what he's talking about? No. Can you hear him? Listen, the but part of it is connecting with what he has just said, this upside down blessings, this upside down woes that we bring into our own life. He's connecting it with all of that. Here's how you really turn the world right side up. But here's how you do it. Can you hear it? Are you a disciple? Everybody can't hear this. Everybody in here won't do this. But if you're a son and a child of God, you will. You'll make yourself do it. You who hear me, reading the rest of it, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. All right, so this is what he's talking about, and this is what we have got to deal with. Now, the problem isn't enemies. We all understand. Well, we think we do. I'm going to clarify that a little bit. But it's not that we don't understand the enemy part. It's the love part. We don't understand that kind of a love. How do you love an enemy? What's interesting, as you research this word, it's agapeo, and we're going to be talking about it. But as you research this word, prior to Jesus, it was seldom, if ever, used. You look back at the earlier writings of the Grecians, and you just don't find this word used often. But Jesus took it and used it all the time. Jesus took this word and, as it were, he exclusively developed this word, agapeo, for Christianity, for his disciples. And then he takes it and he infects us with it. And the only way you get it is to get around him. The only way you catch it, the only way you get infected with it, is to get around him. So, as I said, the word is pretty much developed exclusively by Jesus for Christianity. But let's take a look at some words that are translated love. See, there's several different Greek words that are translated love in the Bible, and if you don't know which one you're looking at, then you really don't know what it's talking about. So I want to show you some of these Greek words that are used. Eros, that's an erotic love, a sensual love, an exotic love. Okay? It's out of the emotions and being stirred up. Philo is a family love or a brotherly love, if you would. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's where Philadelphia comes from. We understand that. Sturgos, that's a natural affection. A natural affection, like, there's some people you just like. So there's all of these words, but this word is agapeo. And it's so different from all the others. All the other words for love that are used in the scriptures are emotionally stirred up. There's relational. There are things that we want to do. But not this word. The thing that separates agapeo from all the other words that are translated love is this. Is you have to will it. Let me say that a different way. You have to make yourself do it. And you don't do it because it feels good. You do it because it's the right thing to do. Because this is what God does. And if you're of God, a child of God, this is what you do. You make yourself do it. You decide to do it. It's a love that's non-self-serving. You're not getting anything back out of it. It's a love of God. It's the way God loves us. It's loving people that are not asking you to love them. It's loving people that don't like you. It's loving people that despise you. You make yourself love them. You give it. And Jesus says it's a love that we make a decision to give, not a feeling. It's a type of love that God loves us with. God doesn't expect anything back when he loves us. Because we can really give him that he doesn't have, and nothing we can give him to pay him back. It's the love God has for us, expecting nothing in return. It's living like God. Who do you love that way? Think of somebody that maybe you love without a self-servingness in it. See, I'd like to think I love my wife that way. I do things for her with expecting not even a thank you. I love my children that way. I love my grandchildren that way. They can't even pay me back. There's nothing they can give me back. So, yeah, that's kind of it, but that's really not it, because Jesus didn't say here to love your wife or your children or your grandchildren. Who did he say love? Love who? Love your enemies. Okay. But I thought love was my decision. It is. But I thought that love was who I wanted to love. Well, it is. Luke 6:27 says that, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Agapeo, decide to. Make yourself. Make the decision to. Not because it feels good, but because it's the right thing to do. Agapeo your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Leave that up there. Please put it back up and leave it for me. I want us to make sure we get it. I want us to make sure. We need to define enemy. According to Jesus, is an enemy someone you hate or someone who hates you? You got to see this. Which is it? Okay, I'm just wanting to get you to respond to me. You're looking at me like, huh? Like a cow looking at a gate or something. You know, just how is an enemy, according to Jesus, is it somebody you hate or somebody that hates you? You got it? Somebody that hates you. Got it. Now, here's the thing here. Because if you're a real child of God, you don't hate anybody. You already got some big problems if you hate somebody. Because you're supposed to forgive everything. So it's people who hate you. In other words, what this means is it's someone that you did something to. It's someone that you injured. That you did something wrong to. You said something about. And this is what an enemy is to all of us. It's somebody who despises you, talks evil about you, who looks for ways to hurt you and talk about you to anybody who'll listen. It's somebody who hates you. And now it escalated from something that was done wrong to hate. And Jesus instructs to not simply turn the cheek as in acting like it didn't happen or it's not there or that you didn't do anything wrong. He says, fix it. Don't just go through life playing like it ain't there. It's there, and it's big. How do you fix it? Okay, he gives us 1, 2, 3. 3 steps, so fast as I can get. Luke 6:27 says this. Step number 1, do good to those who hate you. What does he say? Do good to those who hate you. He doesn't say go and try to make them your best friend. He doesn't say call them every day on the telephone. He doesn't say try to hang out with them. He doesn't even say apologize. Now that'd be a good thing to do. But what he does say is do something good for them. And what God will do is he'll give you an opportunity like he gave me an opportunity. Give him your bait. I don't want to give him my bait. And that's exactly how you respond. But that's not agapeo. Agapeo is making myself give him my bait. I didn't like it then, but I loved how I felt after I had done it. And so what God will do in every one of our lives is he will provide an opportunity for you to do something good for people for your worst enemy, for people that hate you the worst. God will provide a right time, a right place, a right opportunity. Your part is to do it. Agapeo it. Make yourself, force yourself to do it. That's step number 1. Step number 2. Bless those who curse you. Verse 28 says, bless those who curse you. What does that mean? Well, you're going to curse back? You're going to yell back? You're going to say bad things back about them? Or are you going to bless them back? When someone is saying God awful things about you, when someone is talking about you, cursing you, talking to people about you, slandering you, you got to suck it up and you got to squeeze out a smile and you got to come out with something good about that person that's talking so bad about you. I had a situation years back and somebody was talking about me. I mean, saying these awful things about me. It was so bad that people were coming by my study and telling me what they were saying. And I said, okay. Well, I mean, they would tell me these things. And yes, it hurt. Yes, it made me mad. Yes, it angered me. Yes, I wanted to say something back then. But I didn't. I squeezed out a smile. And I said, listen. Because they said, don't you want to retaliate? What do you say? What's your part? How do you defend it? And I said, listen. I'm the one who did wrong. I injured this person. I am not going to talk bad about it. This person only did good to me. This person doesn't intend to hurt me. I hurt the person. And there's no way I can defend myself without putting the person down, without making the person look bad. I am not going to retaliate. I am not going to defend myself. It's so hard to do. The whole thing, the whole process is hard to do. But it's what God does. And if I can't do it, then I'm not a child of God. Jesus says, don't do it. You bless them, even though they're cursing you. That's step number two. Step number one was do good to them. Find a place, way to do good. Now, step number two is bless them, talk good about them. And then step number three, 6:28 says this, pray for those who mistreat you. Now, one and two are tough, but this one, to me, was probably the toughest of all. Pray for them. And the emphasis is on praying for. imprecatory prayers are when you, yeah, I'll pray for them. God, break their teeth out. You go to the Psalms, and you get these imprecatory prayers. Break their arms. I even heard someone just a few days ago, do this one. Put back on their heads what they spoke on me. Listen, that's not a child of God. If you do that, then you're not a child of God. Here's what he says, pray for them. And what you do is when you start it, you don't want to do it, and you got to make yourself do it. You're gritting your teeth. You don't want to do that. And I remember years ago that I did this. Oh, man. I didn't want to do it. I knew I had to do it, but I knew I didn't want to do it. And it was agapeo, and if I'm a child of God, this is what you do. And so I come in here all alone one day, and I am walking in here praying, and I know I've got to pray for this person. And I don't want to pray for this person. I wanted to pray for him, but not the way I should pray for him. And so I'm walking, and I start gritting my teeth, and I start saying it. And I said, God, if I even say it, I'm not going to mean it. Why even say it then? He says, well, do it your way. Okay, so I started praying for him. Lord, I want you to bless him. Lord, I want you to do. Lord, I want you to. And as I said it more and more, I started meaning it. Lord, bless their family. Bless them, Lord. The kids didn't do nothing, you know. Bless their finances. Bless their health. Bless their occupation. And bless them, Lord. And, you know, as I started doing it and found myself really meaning it, I felt inside of me, my heart began to melt. And right there, I fell to my knees and I began to weep. And I began to change the prayer from praying for them to praying for me. Lord, forgive me for what I did. Forgive me for injuring them. Lord, help them heal their heart so they can forgive me. Lord, I am so sorry. Bless them, Lord. They deserve to be blessed. I ask you to bless them. And let me tell you, when you get to that place, you have got to a place that you're living like God. You're godly. And you mean it. You mean it. And it's so tough to do. You begin to have compassion on them. You begin to really love them. And Jesus said there, blessed are you when you weep. Woe to you when you laugh. I could have laughed that thing off. I could have turned my cheek and act like it never happened. It didn't bother me. But see, I became blessed. It's tough. But if you'll not do it, you're not God-like. You're not a child of God. See, we got to get to the place, and only in agapeo can we, that we see people like God sees people. And that's in that people are to be loved, not hated. People are to die for, not be killed. Jesus then went into these hyperboles. I am thinking about just stopping right here and picking it up next week. Give me some. I just feel like that's good for today. See, God wants us blessed. And He lays it out there. When you can do this, you really are real. God's really in you. You're not just passing through. You're not just in this thing for what you can get out of it. When you can do that, you're there for people. You're there for the right reasons. You're there to fix things. And it takes agapeo. Are you infected with it? Is it something you can do? Is it something you want to do? We'll pick it up there next time. Let's pray. Father, I want to be like You. I want to love the wicked. I want to love people that don't appreciate You, appreciate anything, appreciate me. I want to be what You want me to be. And Lord, I'm not unless I can forgive and love my enemy. Right, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Here's all I want to just project to you today. How many of you, if you have an opportunity this week, you'll pray for an enemy? Now think of an enemy. Think of somebody who hates you. And you have an opportunity this week, you say, you know what, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to make myself agapeo. I'm going to make myself pray for them. Would you slip your hand up if you'll pray for them? Good. That's good. All right, how many of you will bless them? That if you'll find a place, somebody who talks about them, or you have an opportunity where you can say something good about them, you'll bless them. You'll find something that you can say good about. How many of you will do that? You'll bless them this week if you get an opportunity to. Good. All right, one more thing. How many of you, if God gives you the chance to give them your bait, God gives you the chance to do something good for them, an opportunity, a divine encounter, you'll take it. And you'll say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make myself do it. How many of you will do that? How many of you will say, I'll do it. Good. See, God's moving. Now, I noticed that everybody's hand didn't go up. Now, that means one of two things. Either you don't have enemies, or you're not a disciple. You're not serious about God. You're not a child of the living God. Or either you're just embarrassed to raise your hand. I want to believe it's the last one, okay? But you got to check your heart out. Are you serious? Do you really want to be transformed? Or are you deceived? Because you can think you're going to heaven just like Judas, but be a son of perdition. God's after your heart. And you look at it. Father, I ask You now to minister to each and every person here.